Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right, I want us to do a little thought experiment this morning. I want you to think about something that's very valuable to you. Something that you treasure. It could be something like your family, or your home, or your garden. It could even be a particular item, like your car, or your computer, or your money, right? Whatever it is, it just has to be something that you value. Something that you want to take good care of. Can you picture it? Now, imagine that you need someone else to look after that thing for you. Like, maybe you need a babysitter to watch your kids while you and your spouse can go on a date. Or maybe you need somebody to check on your home and feed your pets while you go on vacation. Maybe you take your car to the mechanic or your computer to the technician. Maybe you have a financial expert invest your money for you. Right? You have this thing that's really valuable to you and you're letting somebody else have access to it. That takes a lot of trust, doesn't it? Not everybody in your life is allowed to see this intimate side of you. I mean, you're not just going to trust your kids or your home or your money to just anybody. Well, after you entrust this valuable thing to someone, you leave for a little bit. You go on your date. You go on vacation. You leave your car or the computer to get repaired. You let the financial investor work with your money, right? Whatever it is. And that takes extra trust. Not only are you giving this person access to this very important part of your life, but you're also letting them handle it while you can't watch over their shoulder. And then you return. You come back from your dates. You come home from vacation. You come to pick up your car or your computer. You come to get your money from your investor. And you see something is wrong. Maybe the babysitter kidnapped your kid, took them home, and claimed that your child is their child. Maybe you return from vacation to find that your home is trashed and the bodies of your dead pets are on the living room floor. Maybe you go to the mechanic and find out that your car has been turned into scrap metal. Or that your financial planner has spent all of your money. Or you find that all of your personal information from your computer has been posted online. Your passwords, your social security number, and all of those embarrassing pictures you didn't want people to see. How would you feel then? Angry? Betrayed? Hurt? I mean, you trusted this person to take care of this precious thing. So how dare they violate that trust? How could they possibly think that what you entrusted to them was now theirs to do with as they pleased? But that's what they did to your treasure. So what do you think should happen to them? They should be arrested, go to jail, fired from their job, have their license revoked. This is what's going on in today's gospel. In this scene, we hear Jesus tell a parable about a landowner who had a vineyard. Now, this landowner did everything he could to ensure that the vineyard would produce fruit. He put a fence around it. He dug a wine press in it. He built a watchtower for it. We can imagine how precious this vineyard was to him. And then, like many other landowners at the time, he entrusted it to tenants and left. Now, these tenants aren't just day laborers, right? These are people who know what to do on a vineyard. These are people who had high customer approval ratings, so to speak. These are the people that the landowner saw to be trustworthy. Now, the text doesn't tell us how long he was away. But apparently it was long enough that the tenants now think the land is theirs. I mean, they're the ones who work the land. They're the ones who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat. The landowner's not around anymore. So that means the vineyard is theirs, right? Well, that's what they think. When the landowner sends the slaves to collect the produce, the tenants beat them, stone them, and kill them. Because honestly, what right does this absentee landowner have to the produce? Then the landowner sends his son, thinking that they'll respect him. And they do the same thing to him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and elders, "Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest." In other words, they should be arrested and put in jail. They should be fired and have their licenses revoked. Because that's not how you're supposed to treat something that belongs to somebody else. Now, granted, there are times that we give something to someone and we do also transfer ownership to them. Think about when you give someone a present. Right, you had this thing, maybe something that you spent time making, or something that had special meaning for you, like an heirloom. Something that had monetary value or sentimental value or both. And you give it to this person. This thing is meaningful for you, but then you gave it to them to keep. When you do that, you're also transferring ownership to them. It used to be yours, but now it's theirs. Right, this is the difference between letting someone borrow your car and putting their name on the title. Do they have temporary access to this thing that belongs to you? Or do they now own the thing and you have no claim over it anymore? And if you transferred ownership, then how would they feel if you tried to take it back? In that case, who would be stealing from whom? In other words, are you borrowing the thing, or do you own the thing? This distinction is really important. Because even though we say that everything in life belongs to God, we kind of act as though we own it. When we do that, we refuse to give it back to God. We think we can do whatever we want with it. Think about how we treat the planet, or our bodies, or our relationships, or our money, or our lives, or even the church. Notice even how many times I said the word "our" in that sentence. Language doesn't even help here. We don't have any pronouns to talk about temporarily caring for something that belongs to somebody else. We are extremely possessive. And even though we want other people to take good care of the stuff that we entrust to them, we end up mistreating what's been entrusted to us. We put horrible toxins in our bodies. We pollute and damage this planet. We think the life of the church should be about our own personal preferences. Right? You get the idea. That's not how the story is supposed to go. And the chief priests and elders quickly realize this. They understand that Jesus was telling this parable against them. They were people in positions of authority, and they weren't taking care of God's people. I mean, the people of Israel were often compared to a vineyard. Go back to the first reading today from Isaiah 5. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed. Righteousness, but heard a cry. When the chief priests and elders condemn the tenants, they condemn themselves. They are the ones who aren't taking proper care of the vineyard. Just like how we don't take proper care of what's been entrusted to us. But thankfully, that's not where the story ends. After the chief priests and elders condemn themselves, Jesus changes the tone of the conversation. He says two important things. First, he says, "Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom." That means, no matter what happens, this vineyard is going to produce fruit. And you can either try to stand in the way of it and think that you're the one who calls the shots, or you can be a part of it. In other words, God is going to do what God's going to do. And you can either attempt to stop it and think all of this belongs to you, or you can listen, obey, give, and participate in what God is doing. The second thing Jesus says is a quote from Psalm 118. He asks them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes." Jesus shifts the metaphor from the vineyard to the cornerstone. Now, the cornerstone of a building is different from the foundation. Right? The foundation is there to make sure the building has a stable base. The cornerstone is there to make sure that it stands up straight. Right? This right-angled stone was the first stone set in place and would act as a reference point to make sure all the other walls were straight. It was the guide that everything else was measured from. So you don't stand on the cornerstone. You measure your life by the cornerstone. And now the shift in metaphor makes sense. Some people thought the stone was worthless. They thought they could reject it and do whatever they wanted. But others use the stone to make sure their lives are built straight. That means there are people who don't reject the stone and who do give the produce to God. This is how the story is supposed to go. And this is how the story will go. Right, yes, some people in life aren't trustworthy. Yes, some people think that what's in their care is really in their possession. Yes, some people reject the stone that's Jesus and think they can do whatever they please in life. And sometimes that's us. Jesus is the one who straightens us out. He is the one who reminds us that everything we have is a gift from God. He is the one who shows us how to live the way God wants. Even when we are not trustworthy, He is always trustworthy. Even when we think only of ourselves and self-preservation, He still lays down His life for us. Even when we condemn our own behavior, He forgives us and gives us another chance to produce good fruit. And so God continues to trust us to take care of these valuable blessings. Think about that. Just like how you entrust people to take care of what's precious to you, God entrusts you to take care of what is precious to God. Maybe that precious treasure is this world, or your family, or our life together as a congregation. So picture God handing this valuable thing to you to take care of. That takes a lot of trust. And then, picture the amazing fruit that comes from it because of your good caretaking of it. It is because of your dedication, your commitment, your sacrifice, your hard work that the vineyard produces fruit. And yet the vineyard still belongs to God. Now, as faithful tenants, we can't help but share that amazing fruit with the world, giving all the glory to God in the process. And that is something that is incredibly precious. So in the name of the one who is our faithful cornerstone, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.